This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Guys, welcome to Dynamic Banter. Baby sleeping. Guys, welcome to Dynamic Banter.
If the baby's sleeping, put him away.
Welcome to Dynamic Banter. Michael, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
I had a show last night at the Laugh Factory. It was a great dream-achieving moment of my life.
Was it an achievement unlocked?
It was an achievement unlocked. It was a diamond achievement unlocked. Oh, you're not an Xbox boy. You don't know
what No.
When you see that diamond, some people know. When you see that diamond pop up in Roach Tate, that's a good, you found a secret man.
Oh, it means you've done a good.
You've done a good secret man. Secret man.
That's a good one.
He's given you a diamond and taken away your name.
Tell me all about it, Mike.
It was amazing, but I brought that up because there was a young couple who came up to me afterwards and was like, we're big Dynamic Banter fans.
Aww.
And I think it was Sarah and Jeremy, Jacob. Looked like a Jeremy, regardless of what his name was. He looked like a Jeremy.
His name probably wasn't Jeremy.
And she was like a super duper fan from SourceFed Times. So she was saying, I love it. I love all
was
the things
Was it Sarah McCoy?
Sarah McLaughlin. What does Sarah McCoy look like? Okay, yeah, that was her.
I don't know. I couldn't describe her, but there's a Sarah McCoy who's a big time fan.
Maybe it was her. Is she from around the way?
I believe it.
Rick. And so she came up and she was talking about how. And she was saying how much she liked the podcast and she really likes when she's getting ready to leave at night or getting ready for work. And we do the bit where we don't say anything for a long time. She always checks the phone. She thinks it's the funniest thing. And then I guess she had a really long road trip with her boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And she forced him to listen. And he said both hands were on the wheel, so I couldn't even turn it off.
He couldn't touch it.
End it.
It was a problem.
And now he likes it too.
Oh, good.
So hear that, Wendy? Sometime people...
Yeah,
like
Wendy.
The podcast.
You fucking. You know all the stories.
Wendy, how many BPMs is this?
I bet she couldn't tell us. Not in a million years.
I bet she's not a mom-tronome.
Dude.
Shut up, Owen. Don't laugh at Mom Trinome.
Whenever I
hear... Make sure Race doesn't...
Mike's throwing babies. Mike, what did I say about the shush? The baby's sleeping. We'd have to be quiet.
Not anymore. Baby's flying. Make sure Riggs doesn't eat that, Owen. Now I feel bad.
Riggs is a smart dog, despite what you might believe.
I have no... ill will towards Riggs at all.
Ill will.
Don't create a Twitter beef between me and Riggs right now. I don't need Riggs blowing me up. I don't need a Rig fan base coming after me on the internet.
The Rig heads.
I don't need the Rig A Rig heads. I can already tell that's too loud. That's the first thing that happens before too loud happens. what song is that? Radio Shack theme song?
It's an ABBA song.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
So that's why we can't monetize this episode? Because we gotta deal with the AB heads who are at the gym all the time.
The ABBA police.
The ABBA babies. Dude, let's make
the ABBA authorities.
Authority Bebas. Let's make this episode just us coming up with the fandom names to everything.
Okay, yeah. What would our Nirvana fans be called? There he goes. A-B-B-A, Owen.
Owen said, hold on. Owen said, how do you spell ABBA?
Owen just asked us.
Let me get you a chance.
How to spell ABBA.
Actually pretty good. Do you hear what he said? I'm not going to repeat it for the podcast. But do you hear
no, I didn't hear it. And I'd rather not.
I'm going to take the best joke Owen's ever said and make Sarah transcribe it at the bottom because I'm not going to repeat it.
I won't repeat it. I didn't hear it. I do like that whenever we hear about people like playing dynamic banter for someone who's never heard it before, it's usually in a situation where they can't escape.
You know, when I lock somebody in my panic room and I just played the first 12 episodes of dynamic banter. Very thankful,
Mike,
for
before
it.
We get into the oh shit,
are these canine biscuits?
Those are some canine biscuits, and if you if you're
shot.
Tickled, you can go ahead and throw one to Rig. Wow, you really just ate a fucking dog treat. Mike, you're an enigma to me.
Why do they like these?
Because all they eat are those little, like, chicken-flavored kibbles.
Oh, here's how they fuck you real nice. It says organic peanut butter flavor. Mm-mm. Nothing about it has anything to do with peanut butter.
Really?
I promise. So much so that people who are allergic to peanut butter could probably eat these by the fistful, because there's no fucking peanut butter in there. I've been alive for 33 years. I know exactly what peanut butter tastes like.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ingredients. There's organic chicken.
Why is there chicken in a peanut butter cookie?
You ever had chicken and waffles? Peanut butter and waffles?
Come on, man. Oh, fucking gross.
Organic.
It tastes like the inside of a dog's mouth.
Organic.
Eat this out of my mouth.
Organic chicken, organic peas.
Tastes more like peas than anything else. In all honesty, it tastes...
organic brown rice, organic oats, organic barley, organic chicken fat.
Oh, what did I do?
Natural chicken liver flavor.
Of course there's liver in it. Why is there liver in everything for dogs?
Organic natural. Because no one wants the liver, and so they're like, hey, we got this surplus of liver. Give it to the fucking dogs.
Oh, God.
And finally, natural peanut butter flavor.
No. No. It tasted, you know what it tastes like? Somebody on the assembly line had peanut butter open near the assembly line. That's how much it tastes like.
Some of an essence might have gone in.
Maybe there was a fan near an open jar of peanut butter while they were making whatever that is.
So, Mike, what did you find when you had a seat where you are right now on the dynamic banter table?
Old donut.
But, like, not a giant donut.
Old tiny donut.
Old tiny donut with
old
one
tiny
bite.
Donut was my favorite Old Western song.
I thought that was a good rapper. Good old tiny donut. Old tiny donut.
Young donut.
Y-U-N-G.
Young small. Little young small.
Young BB boy. I want to have a DJ name, Young Adult.
Young Adult Book Section.
Y-U-N-G, Young Adult. okay, so you found a tiny donut with a bite in it.
Yeah.
Right where you're sitting.
Hold me closer, tiny donut.
Can I tell you where...
You get less money every second.
Can I tell you where... that comes from?
Oh, I would love to know the origin story of this small, uninteresting donut.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Is it a mutant?
I'll tell you that there is another podcast that records at this table. There are several others.
How dare you?
Sorry, I'm cheating on you. And it's called The Valley Cast, and it's the Valley Folk Podcast. And Lee Newton.
Small
Newton. Came over on when my grandpa was in the hospital. We were recording the podcast, and she brought a bunch of snacky donuts, tiny boy donuts.
Yeah,
and she shared them with the table. It was really nice.
That's
it was a nice treat. And
the Valley Folk are good for bringing stuff.
They are good for bringing stuff. You can always count on them to bring dip.
Enough coffee for everyone.
Dip. Definitely they don't bring enough coffee for everyone.
Nope. Enough donuts for a whole classroom full of people. Well, so she came over. She brought tiny snacks.
Mm-hmm. And she took a bite out of one and then left it there.
Fun.
Left it on my table.
So
here's
what?
A gift.
You know what would go good with all this other stuff?
Tiny. You know, the thing is like, remember when Weird Al did like Al TV?
No.
You didn't even know about Al TV? Weird Al back in the 80s used to like take over the MTV airwaves. Mm-hmm. And he would like.
With his hair.
With his hair. And he would do like a block of like weird comedy bits. And like he would introduce music videos and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But he had like a desk with like a bunch of shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And like this is totally what it looked like. For
oh,
sure.
So we just were picking up the slack.
We're picking it up. He passed the baton.
I'd like to throw to brand new video by ABBA. This one's called 180 BPM.
Ooh. No, yeah, right?
Uncomfortable.
Do you need me to take you somewhere?
Didn't like it.
But yeah, I'm sure he had like a half-eaten donut on his table because that's like a funny thing to have when you're a comedy boy.
He would. Comedy ain't shit without a half-eaten donut somewhere.
Did you know Owen and I were talking about how Weird Al might have been the first person to take like legitimate, because on his Al TV thing, he used to be like, I have an interview with Madonna. Like, I'm interviewing Madonna. And he would just take a Madonna interview and cut out and splice himself in.
He invented The Daily Show.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah. This has been History. Great. Thank God he did that.
So anyway, Mike,
Man, there have been a lot of Hebrew writings on that Tagarado site. Let's talk about it.
Look how the music just cut out so fast. Guys, I'm just going to go.
Can I say one thing before we start?
Yeah, baby.
And I don't think this is a dick thing to say. When I thought about it, I was like, maybe that's a dick thing to say. And you're a good barometer for dick things. I've always said that.
I think so.
Tell me if I'm being a dick. Somebody on Twitter, this is not a dick comment, was like, I loved Cloverfields. That's why I started listening to you guys. You were so excited and nerdy about the first whatever when they started doing the ARG for the second one, whatever. And I hope you guys get super into it again. Me too. I want to say that first. I also hope that happens. But I'm not going to get super duper excited about something just because it's happening. I want to be super duper excited about it. It's not my responsibility.
You want it to make you excited.
Right. It's like in the WWE. Where
WWE.
It's like when they say the title doesn't make the person makes the title. You know, I don't want the fact that it's happening to be the exciting thing. I want it to be exciting and then I'll get excited about it. And it's not my job to make that exciting.
So you're saying that, like,
because it's not our thing.
For you, if you were a Star Warfin.
Warfin and you heard is about my a favorite new, blood thinner.
And if you heard about a new Star Wars film coming out, 2020, baby, a new Star Wars.
Yeah.
Every favorite boy is going to be in it.
Give me a couple examples of favorite boys.
Okay. 3CPO. Don Solo,
Donald Beard, Glover Solo, Beard Boy,
the whole band, the whole band's there,
the band from the Rocky Bar,
everybody in the trunk of the Flying Boy
Shot
is there.
First is gonna be on
Bar Boys. They're gonna... Every bar boy from the first...
Bar Wars.
The ones in the sand.
Big, tall, yeller.
Bald one. Bald one's there.
His sister.
Gun.
Gun, choppers.
I think I need to stop the podcast.
Yes, shit. If that were to happen, I would be very excited.
But you're saying that you need to earn the excitement. You can't just say, a new Star Wars coming.
Yeah, man. If
and you automatically get excited.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Star Wars is a bad example because people are so intense about that. And it's earned that over the... When something is that popular for that stretch of time, it's earned it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I'm not saying that this hasn't earned it to a certain extent. I'm very excited that there's another movie coming out. But I'm saying if it's our job, no one's paying us, right? So if it's our job to go to the movie theaters and drop $37 on one ticket to go to the movies, which is why I don't go. Least comfortable place to sleep. I'd rather go to a Motel 6 where it's quiet.
And there aren't any BBs.
Leave the light on for you, and Steve doesn't have to get so upset about other people putting lights on. I'm saying if we have to go spend our money, it's your job to make us excited. I desperately want to be excited.
Yeah.
Let's get excited naturally together. I'm not going to get excited because, like, it's happening. Let's go. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Whatever. And I'm not Little Throat Goblin.
And this has been Clover.
It's probably my favorite episode so far. If we're Dude, if I've never seen one of the video episodes of this podcast, I would think that you had a big, like, Skrillex DJ set up in front of you.
Where I'm just, like, pressing buttons?
Yeah.
No, I understand. So you're feeling a little bit bad for not being as excited about Cloverfield?
No. That's the main point.
That's not the point. Oh, that is the main point.
The main point is that I don't feel bad for not being that excited yet.
Okay. And look, this is already going to be the third one.
Uh-huh. Good point. Oh, God. And there goes Rick. There goes your smart dog. You ruined your smart dog. The best thing about a smart dog is that it can hear stuff and listen to it.
Did you know?
You've ruined your smart dog.
Did you know that the, like, now that, since we're talking about movie news, that it was just confirmed that in 2025, Gunn gets a standalone movie?
Gun. Oh, man.
So, guys, Cloverfield, there's all sorts of fucking Cloverfield news now.
Talk about it.
It's hard to goddamn keep in track.
Cloverfield is the new backyard chicken farm.
It is. It's hard to keep track. We're going to need someone. We're going to need a correspondent.
Let's go to someone with boots on the ground. Jeff Dan on the ground.
I'm Jeff Dan. I'm Jeff Dan.
Can we please hire someone to be a Cloverfield correspondent so we don't have to do it?
Yeah, we could just... Should we just call someone randomly right now and have them be our correspondent?
Yeah. Ask them what's going on in the Cloververse.
Who would know?
Malcolm Barrett. Elliot Morgan.
This is going to be a bad bit. I'm not going
to
do it.
I'm trying to think of whose number I have. Ugh. Pauly Shore might know.
Tagruato.
What if Pauly Shore knew everything about Cloverfield? It's like, that's a big monster, buddy.
Whoa.
I'll tell you, if those you little, wheeze in the juice.
Those little parasites are wheezing the juice.
Wheeze up.
The big monster's coming.
You know you got the big monster and you got the mini chunchies.
He's going to come down and bite chunk. all
that man
the 40
me
year
in the
old,
neck once.
Only 40 year olds know what we're talking about.
That's okay. We're on the show. We understand.
We're going to his birthday party. That's not even a joke.
I can't wait, man. I got to get the morning show done before that happens.
You got to be careful. Oh, fuck. I don't feel good. I just don't feel good. This is what's happening right now. Dude, did you see that some people were getting their bobbleheads?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Maybe that's another
reason why you're not excited, because you haven't gotten your bobblehead yet?
Well, we worked so hard to figure that shit out.
We did, and we're the first people to follow the Slusho truck on Twitter.
Yeah, they followed us back and then unfollowed us.
Did they unfollow us?
Yeah, they are following one person.
Oh, shit. So they must have made... It's more mysterious if they don't follow...
If they don't father anyone, there's so mistake. How do you have that many kids if you've never fathered anyone?
Got our follower.
Also, happy Black History Month.
Did you see that there was a guy that appreciated our polyphonic spree bits?
Yes, there was one person.
Yeah.
Who appreciated the
robes,
the polyphonic spree bit. I'm trying to find the Twitter for the truck.
The
what,
RB.
What other Clover find?
So people have received their bobblehead from the Slusho truck from the Comic-Con.
Oh, enjoy it.
Event. And it also comes with a certificate of authenticity, a Japanese language newspaper, and the same Togarado energy pamphlet as seen on Togarado.jp.
So
the Slusho certificate of authenticity curiously says, caution, no sudden movement
on a bobblehead.
And the pamphlet contains this. It says, we remake the world. January 2018 updates the Cloverfield Energy Initiative, brought to you by the Future Energy Development Committee, Shared Energy for a Shared World. The Togarado Corporation is excited to announce the Cloverfield Energy Initiative, CEI, a revolutionary new partnership that brings together top scientists, leading energy providers, and world governments as part of one coalition dedicated to reshaping the way we power the world. So, I think this is the first time a piece of ARG content has featured the word Cloverfield.
What does it say again?
It's the Cloverfield Energy Initiative from Togarado.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So that's the first time. Is that the first time Cloverfield was mentioned
in
any
the
of
ARG.
The movies? Or in, but even in the movies itself?
Well, in the first Cloverfield, when the movie starts,
yeah.
You see like all this government jargon.
Yeah.
And there's a thing that says like Cloverfield file or something. Like they called that entire operation the Cloverfield situation.
Cloverfield situation was my favorite.
Yeah, you insert the blank.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that because it, I like that. I can't draw any strong conclusions from that.
I will say, if you go to the Yoshida Medical Research site and Bold Futura, remember Bold Futura?
I certainly do. Wasn't that who John Goodman was saving all of his parts for?
Calling the actor by his name. Right, in the ARG, John Goodman.
John Goodman from Roseanne.
John Goodman.
Was saving all of his parts for a bold future.
It is weird that John Goodman worked at a satellite company and, did all that research on aliens.
Well, it's hard to be the king. Even less people got that.
Dude, there's so much shit. The return address on the Slusho packet, the Slusho bobblehead package, indicates an address in Tonopah, Arizona, which doesn't exist. Tonopah is the site of the Palo Verde nuclear generating station and was also one of the stops of the Slusho truck.
I remember that.
Also, 04182028.com updates with a new video with clearer audio and consistent images of the person seen in the previous two videos from the other sites. And the partial transcript is, "Your thoughts, Professor Mark Stambler." And he says, because
that sounds like a name that you would make up.
"Because of Tagrado, everything that's happened, I was right. CEI was a lie, just like I predicted in my book, The Clover." And then it stops.
Okay. So
he's talking about the Cloverfield,
CEI, Cloverfield Energy Initiative.
Yeah. Go ahead and give yourself a ding.
Every time I get something right. Swamp Pop was in game?
No.
Don't do it.
And then on January 30th, 04182028.com updated with a new video, which appears to be a recording of someone talking about a social media hoax and potentially providing a clue to the physical location. Partial transcript says, "This is a social media hoax, social medium, my email, why does this have to happen again, third floor by the lamp." So people actually found a Twitter account for the Mark Stambler, and the tweet confirms that it is in-game, this person's account. And there's all sorts of weird tweets from this guy.
So that is, that's, I like that because the Mark Stambler, it's not verified or
at
anything.
At the Mark Stambler, yeah.
He doesn't have a picture, profile picture or anything. But this is, this kind of reminds me, it's harkening back to MySpace days.
Yeah,
when all the Cloverfield characters had their own MySpace days.
And also, Mike, you want me to blow your mind real quick?
Yes, please. Make me excited about this.
Here we go. Mark Stambler.
He also wrote out hashtag. He wrote out the word hashtag.
Yeah, hoax. I think it's supposed to be like someone that doesn't understand social
media.
Some
old man. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Mark Stambler is this man's name. And do you remember John Goodman's character's name in 10 Cloverfield Lane?
No.
His name was Howard Stambler.
Oh, fuck it. And he had mail from...
Tagrado. Or from Bold Futura.
Bold Futura. that's our thinking music. I would have to go back and watch 10 Cloverfield Lane to see... to make connections now that we know other things.
But here's the cool thing. In this video on 04182028.com, he mentions third floor by the lamp, whatever the hell that means. And so people have been tweeting at him, and one of his latest tweets, the Mark Stambler says, "I don't know who you are or what you want, but the only way you could know about the lamp is if you're watching me. I've notified NYPD. Last warning, leave me alone."
Lamp, third floor. That was the broken audio?
Yeah. So he doesn't know that, like, we've seen this video message. There's all sorts of cool theories as to what's going on. Some people are saying that the interviewer in the video is the guy that got caught researching the Tagrado oil rig spill. Remember there was like a rebel guy that went off and did his own shit?
From the first one?
From the first one.
Do you remember the guy who went missing? Teddy?
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about.
Ted Stambler.
They're saying, "This is Ted." Oh!
No, his name wasn't Stambler.
"This has been Dynamic Road."
Which is a road that has a lot of turns. Was his name Ted?
Ted.
Missing from...
Fuck, I don't remember.
I'll find out. Okay. Keep talking about things.
There are Hebrew characters, Mike. You're right. You knew about that part?
I did. I read that this morning to do research for a very important podcast.
It was translated through by Tidal. There's some stuff from apparently Tidal Wave going on here, and the translation.
That was the group who was against the deep oil
Tidal Wave
drilling.
Yes. And so here's a message that was translated from Hebrew, partially translated. It says, Tagruato's real reason to steal the rest of the world's energy, they've spent 20 years to open it. Not worth the cost to the world, tidal wave. Holy shit, Mike!
His name was Teddy Hansen, and he was the leader of... Wasn't he the leader of Tidal Wave?
Yeah, or he was like one of the members or something.
Sorry, go
Dude,
ahead.
Check this out. What yes. if... Okay, what if...
Please calm down.
What if this shit about Tagruato that people were talking about years ago, and even we were talking about years ago, is true? What if they really have found like alternate dimensions? Because it says here, why are you laughing?
She dragged us into one.
She took us into her dimension. What? Okay, so, because remember we were saying, how do the fucking Cloverfield movies connect?
Yes.
They're obviously not in the same universe. Otherwise, in 10 Cloverfield Lane, there would have been references to the New York attack.
Yep.
So something's fishy here. And then we were learning about how the new Cloverfield movie was going to be called The God Particle. Mm-hmm. And The God Particle kind of harkens back to like particle acceleration, potentially other dimensions, accessing other planes of existence, things like that. And so that's what got people thinking that maybe Tagruato found a way to access other dimensions.
Yeah. Didn't Dan Tractor Man say something like that when we were interviewing him too?
I can't remember. But I do know that there was just a lot of, rustling and bustling all about potential connections to the universes, which is Tagruato has like a link to each of these universes.
Yeah.
Where the Cloverfield monster attack happened, where the alien invasion happened in 10 Cloverfield Lane, and so on and so forth.
Yep.
So in this translation from Tidal Wave in the ARG, this is what they said. They said Tagruato's real reason to steal the rest of the world's energy. They've spent 20 years, blank, to open it. Not worth the cost to the world, tidal wave. So 20 years. 20 years ago was Cloverfield, wasn't it?
No.
Or no, that was 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
I don't know. But to open it really gives me a feeling that we're talking about alternate dimensions here.
Well, this movie could also be in the future.
That's very true. So anyway, those are the updates we have for the new Cloverfield movie, for this ARG. But before we move on...
See, the different dimensions thing fucks it all up, because we don't know what time this guy's coming from. That guy could be coming from 10 years in the future, where that shit was 20 years ago.
Well, but I mean, dimensional travel could have nothing really to do with time travel. Because, I mean...
Oh.
This is all stuff that... This is all speculation. But traveling, conceivably traveling to another dimension would mean you would be in a timeline from that dimension. Now, whether that means they, like, built a future like we did, mm-hmm. or whether they're, like, behind us in futuristic technology and shit and civilization stuff, mm-hmm. then that's kind of, like, up for debate, I guess. But,
okay.
But, I mean...
And at the end of the day, we find out a little bit about how small we are.
And ourselves. So before we move on from Cloverfield news, for those of you that don't give a green fuck, I will say one last piece of really exciting information. Mike, I don't know if you heard about this, but apparently Cloverfield 4 is already done filming.
Oh.
Did you hear about this?
No.
There's another movie that Bad Robot swooped up called Overlord years ago. Starring Wyatt Russell, who's amazing. Love him. And back then, when they said JJ's Bad Robot picked up Overlord, someone said, more like Cloverlord. And that was way back then. So now people are connecting the dots. And according to a bunch of sources, Cloverfield 4, this is totally Cloverfield 4. And it's going to come out in the same year, in this year. So they're going to fucking drop two Cloverfield movies in the span of a year in 2018.
I guess that's exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so here's a quick synopsis of what Cloverfield 4 is. On the eve of D-Day...
Where does this come from?
This news?
Yeah.
Slash film.
So this is... Okay, go ahead. I think I heard a little bit of something, but I don't want to fuck it up.
Okay. On the eve of D-Day, American paratroopers are dropped behind enemy lines to carry out a mission crucial to the invasion's success. But as they approach their target, they begin to realize there's more going on in this Nazi-occupied village than a simple military operation. They find themselves fighting against supernatural forces, part of a Nazi experiment.
Why do the Nazis have access to so much
stuff? I know, I love it, though. Because there was all these theories that, like... I mean, it's a fact that Hitler was into the occult. Mm-hmm. He, like, loved that kind of shit. And so that spawns so much, like, cool sci-fi alternate reality theories. Mm-hmm. And there was even, like, an Indiana Jones game that was about Hitler acquiring the Spear of Destiny, which was, like, supposedly the spear that, like, pierced Jesus when he was on the cross.
Which obviously has magical powers.
Which Hitler believed had magical powers because it actually pierced Jesus.
Uh-huh. Who was just a man.
Who was just boy. At the time, a 22 boy. No younger than Gunn. And, yeah, so there's all these like fun theories about Hitler's obsession with the occult and how far it went. There's even stuff in Hellboy about it.
Call of Duty, Nazi zombies.
There you go, baby. So yeah, so that's what this is all. So it says Overlord's directed by Julius Avery, who directed Son of a Gun, and it says about a year ago,
which is of course a Star Wars film.
That's the prequel to Gun. A Star Wars story, Gun. About a year ago, we speculated that this could be the fourth entry in the slowly expanding Cloververse, and after Screen Rant theorized about the same thing this morning, we've received confirmation from our sources that yes, Overlord is indeed Cloverfield 4, and that the project has completed production. So there it is.
Wow. That's cool. That's very exciting.
So here's what... So Box Office Mojo says this movie, Overlord...
Yeah.
Before whatever, it hasn't been changed to a Cloverfield title yet, but it was set to arrive in theaters by October 26th of this year. So Cloverfield Station / God Particle / whatever comes out April, and then this one comes out October.
Mm-hmm.
So how cool is that?
That's exactly a year and a half apart.
Sweet.
We should have a 4-piece brass band follow us around at all times.
Mike, let me ask you a quick question. Have you ever wanted to start a beautiful website?
Yes. Short answer,
how
yes.
Far did that go, Mike?
Well, it went all the way to website production. And I'll tell you who helped facilitate that.
Who was it?
Squarespace.com. Squarespace, an all-in-one website design platform. It's a website that you go to build a website. Your website.
Yeah, that's right, Mike. We're talking beautiful templates created by world-class designers. Powerful e-commerce functionality that'll let you sell anything online. Sell your dang shoes, bud. And girl, sell your shoes on the site.
Talking to you, girl.
Girl, sell your damn shoes. I know you got a boy, a lot of them. And I'll tell you what. Building a shoe website is easy as pie.
Which is actually kind of difficult.
On Squarespace. And all you have to do is go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And hey, when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BANTER and you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. It doesn't get easier. It doesn't get better.
Maybe you're sitting there thinking, but I don't know HTML.
I don't know how to make anything.
I don't know how to talk a computer into letting me have a website. But I'm here to tell you. Shut up. All you got to do is go to www.squarespace.com and follow the instructions. And it's so easy. Make your website beautiful. Make it look like whatever you want without knowing any of that crazy space jargon.
Now, I don't want to scare you, but the future is coming. whether you like it or not. So why don't you make it brighter with Squarespace?
Holy shit, man. So good.
Ooh, those are bad sounds.
What are those sounds?
Oh, man. So how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing really good, man. Last night was real important to me. It was real nice.
Yeah, you coasting that high?
I'm coasting. I'm still on it. Still on it. Don't want to come back down. I have a show at the Sycamore Tavern on Friday. That might help bring me down a little bit.
Bring you back down to earth.
One of the fun things that's going to be good about Friday. Ooh, pardon the interruption. Friday and Monday, I'll be getting to do more crowd work. I was very nervous about last night.
You like
night,
doing
man.
That crowd work?
It's my favorite thing in the world.
Because it's just improv, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's doing what we do with everybody, you know? I get to talk to people, and then I always like that.
Like, you point out someone, and you say, like, did you buy that shirt, or the person next to you bought it?
Hey, what's with that hat? Did the person next to you buy that hat?
And you're wearing
and so
it because
so
they bought you that hat?
Right. That's most of it. It's kind of... In a lot of ways, it's looked down upon because it's not writing. It's not crafting a beautiful joke like artwork, and I get that. But for me, it's like when everyone's in the same room and no one has their phones out or whatever, and it's a very like storytelling-like experience, and you know that everything that's happening in the room is only happening there, and it's only for that.
Sure.
Place, there's something really special to that. Like, it's so much work. It's especially now when people have everything they want on their phones and on their televisions.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever,
instant access.
Yeah, it's so you should be so thankful that people come out of their house to enjoy what you're doing. And so it's like the least we can do is create like this once in a lifetime experience for them, because that's a special thing.
Sure.
You go and you pay money for a ticket and then you leave thinking, that was awesome. It's never going to happen again. And I was a part of it. That's fun. That's a fun thing.
And we're on this earth for such a blip. So why not do something that makes you and other people happy?
Hell yeah, man.
And creates joy.
Yeah. Not to say there's any less value in any other thing that brings people joy. It's just that's my favorite thing that does that. This has been.
Oh, you know, something... Something that I didn't bring up while we were doing our Cloverfield stuff was mm-hmm. that we kind of put it out there that we lost all of the Cloverfield episodes, and we got an overwhelming amount of reaction and response to that.
Uh-huh.
And like literally like over 10 people have reached out and said they have every episode of Cloverfield.
Should I? Fuck, man. I wish I had that text message that tells you exactly which ones... I don't.
Oh,
know.
No, I totally had it. Uh-huh. I totally said to someone exactly those numbers, and
oh,
they just
great.
Sent me a Google Drive link, and it has every single episode in there.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Who is that person?
So that's the thing. It's like so many people reached out.
Give that person social security number.
It would be hard to give specific.
If you've done that, seriously, thank you so, so, so much for that. Very nice of you.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, so many people reached out, so I just want to say thank you to everyone who reached out and provided that. And I want to say we'll hopefully be able to individually thank you all.
Yeah.
At
I'd like
some
to do
point.
It right now. Thank you.
Well, we've already done it, so there it is. Show your mom.
I would like to those people. I would like to personally apologize if it sounded like I was a bastard at the beginning of this podcast for not being too I'm just trying to be honest. The
no,
more
no,
honest we
it's...
are, honest and transparent with you guys at all times, the better our relationship will be in the long run.
I think that's great. So anyway, thank you to all of you who provided that, and so stay tuned for news on the old episodes. I think Mike said he was going to post those on a YouTube page.
Yeah, can you just forward that to me and then I'll yes. start working on that?
Yes. So, how about a history road, Mike? How does that sound?
I can't wait. I can't wait. Can I say that? I know you're not supposed to say this. This is without question one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad. There's a lot of laughter in this one. And I just wanted to...
History. History.
Oh, that fucking bass line, dude.
You know what would make me real sad? To find out that that bass was a keyboard.
And oh, I think no, we've talked about that can't before. Be.
I hope it's not. We have to talk to whoever wrote that song.
Lindsey Buckingham?
Is that who wrote that song?
I thought it was, yeah. From Fleetwood Mac.
Are we selling Lederhosen on this podcast?
I thought this was the non-bungle, the audience bungle music.
Oh, did somebody else bungle it?
No, but I read this email. I pre-screened this email, at least a little bit of it. And it's a history road called The Time Mike Ran Off. It says, sorry, Steve, I bungled it. Hit send on accident before I finished. Feel free to play the audience bungle music. Below is the conclusion if you still care.
Fun.
Oh, so there was...
But you don't have the previous.
No, no, email. It's here.
So you gotta play the regular bungle music.
Michael Ames says, "Hey, Mike and Steve, it's your boy Michael from Raleigh. I'm currently a junior at NC State, humble brag, and that's not important. This is my history road about the time I almost met Mike. Name drop. This story starts back in October when our family decided to take a vacacion to California in December. Now, as a Virginia Beach native, this excited me for many reasons.
California in December is my favorite kind of offshoot extension of Disneyland.
That's good. That's good bit. First and foremost, though, was the opportunity to see Mike perform at a comedy show. Sorry, Steve, if you did stand up, I would definitely go as well. I didn't need that.
He's done it before. He's great. He just hates it.
Thanks, man. So I went to a handy website powered by Squarespace, hopefully a sponsor, MikeFalzone.com, and discovered, to my delight, he was performing at Flappers Comedy Club on the 19th of December. Score.
Well, that was a great show. I did very well.
I could finally witness my favorite funny boy.
Humble.
So I purchased my 4 tickets, as my brother is also a fan of the pod, and waited excitedly for the day to come.
What instrument is that? Is somebody fucking a harp?
When I learned our family would be leaving LA on the 17th to stay in Solana Beach, I was a little worried. As this could be a 3-hour drive in traffic. I was able to convince my father to drive my 2 brothers and I all the way to Burbank, and off we went. The traffic was horrific, but using a certain map service, I navigated around the worst of it, and we arrived with plenty of time.
Why wouldn't you say the name of the map?
Maybe it's not a sponsor, and he was being polite. We sat down at a table just behind the front row and ordered our food and drink, and eagerly awaited the show. After countless non-mic comedians, most of whom were funny, the time finally came.
I couldn't help but notice that most of these people
aren't mic. I started to get worried. As his name, in fact, was on the bill. We cheered as Mike took the stage, and I offered an encouraging, "Yeah, Mike!"
Oh, I remember those, dude.
As the front row was empty, Mike pretended to high-five empty air as if to make us feel bad for him. In an effort to comfort Mike, I reached my hand out as he passed and was promptly rejected with a cruel too late from Mike.
Come see me live.
This is what you're going to get. Mike then asked who said Mike and admonished me for being too personal.
He drove 3 hours to the show to get yelled at.
Now I understand why they say never meet your hero. He says, no, I'm kidding. It was hilarious.
Oh, shit.
Mike then killed it with his set, notably describing the festive Christmas tree on stage as George Washington and the cherry tree. After the show ended and a painful raffle contest, I watched with dismay as Mike made a beeline for the door and vanished.
I'm sorry, man.
I wouldn't be as upset, but several other comedians stuck around afterward to meet people and get pictures, Mike.
I'm sorry. I had another show that night.
So thanks, Mike. I traveled 2,700 miles to see you.
Fuck.
And couldn't even get the time of day from you.
I'm very sorry. What was this person's name?
Michael Ames.
Michael Ames, I'm incredibly sorry that I let you down. Thank you so much for coming. It means the world. Never talk during my set.
I don't care where you came from.
You can come from Uganda. If you talk during my set, I'm going to get going. Come to a crowd work show.
He says, so that's my history road. Thanks for reading. For real, though, I'm not actually mad. It was a great show and really cool to watch you live. Keep it up, man. Also, your morning show is hilarious. Oh, and Steve, I'm very excited about the Valley Folk. I miss you guys working together. The first podcast episode was awesome. It was beautiful. Give Mortimer my love as well. Thanks for making me laugh, y'all. You're my favorite internet funny fellows. If you don't get it, just get out.
I love him. Thank you, Mike.
Nice work, Mike. Michael Ames.
That brightened my whole day, and I was already having a pretty good day.
You know what he aims to do is please.
Dude, can I tell you the urge I had to smash the fuck out of my phone with this mallet? If I was rich, if this podcast somehow made us rich, I would smash an iPhone X every episode.
And even if it wasn't filming us?
No, I wouldn't do it if it wasn't filming. Because then I can't monetize it to get another phone. I'm gonna smash a singular Nokia 1450.
All right. Well, guys, that's it for the show. Mike, you got any perks?
Yes. Let me find them.
Why don't you play again?
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to do this, because every time I do this, somebody who listens to this podcast shows up to a show.
Oh, perfect.
On Thursday, the 1st, we'll be recording this episode of Dynamic Banter.
Oh, we should tell people that Malcolm's going to be on soon.
We should absolutely do that, but we should also absolutely record with Malcolm before we get people too excited. I hung out with him last night for a little while.
I wanted to see him last night, but I got too fucking busy.
That's all right.
Maybe. I made plans with him and everything.
Dude, I had a great time with him for a little while last night.
He's a good man. I love him a lot.
He said several very funny things, and he gives your love.
I love that man.
Tonight, I am at the Sycamore Tavern in West Hollywood. You can come out to that. That's in West Hollywood. That's where you'll find that. On Monday, the 5th, I'll be in the world famous improv in the lab for Delman's Definitely Not Star Search. Always a funny show. On Friday, the 9th, I'll be somewhere else. I think in Chino Hills. On the 11th, I have two shows, Humboldt, and one's in Flappers.
One's in Humboldt County?
Humboldt County. Flappers. Claremont, which is in Claremont, California. That's at 7. And then at 10, I'll be at the Heavy, Heavy, Low, Low show, which is kind of a really fucking cool show in the back of this bar, Bar Lubitsch in West Hollywood, Santa Monica Boulevard. Always real fun. And there's just a lot of comedians who are friends, which is weird. On the 17th, I either have a Friends and Friends show, or I wanted to talk to you if we got another date. I wanted to talk to you about possibly doing another live Dynamic Banter.
Oh, we should. Yeah. Let's do it.
On the 18th, I'm in the main room at Flappers in Burbank. On the 19th, I leave for Boston, and I'm doing one show in Boston with Elliot Morgan. I believe it's on the 21st. Oh,
that's his birthday show.
Yeah, I keep saying the 20th or the 21st. It's on one of those, but if you are on the East Coast, we would absolutely love to have you there. I'm trying to pick up one more show on the East Coast before I go home. Thank you so much for that, the trolley from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And on March... Fuck. I don't want to fuck this up. I just did an Eventbrite for this. I have my own show. I'm going to do an hour in Portland at the Siren Theater.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I know you talked about wanting to come to that because you wanted to come
to
Portland.
Yeah, I
want to
go to Portland. Yeah.
So if you want to come...
I just may...
I just want to get the date for that. I'm sorry, Steve. I thought I had it. Sunday the 25th is the show from Portland. And there is an Eventbrite for it. Tickets are available now. People have already started buying tickets, so please jump on them as soon as possible. Steve, maybe I'll give you the link so you could put it in the description section.
Sure. Of the thing. Yeah, give me whatever you want, baby. Nice work, Mike. Good plugs.
Thank you for giving me it.
Well, you were
gone.
Guys, as for my plugs, I'm sure those of you are a lot of you already know, the Valley Folk is a new comedy venture with the original SourceFed hosts, Joe Beretta, Elliot Morgan, and Lee Newton. Okay, Riggs. I'm sorry, this isn't your show, Riggs.
Hey, Riggs. Why don't you come over here for a second?
Anyway, Valley Folk is a thing, and if you want to support us and help us make some awesome new content, which we have planned for the entire year of 2018, you can go to patreon.com/thevalleyfolk and also youtube.com/thevalleyfolk to check out our YouTube page. Go ahead and subscribe to that. It's very easy and free. And also, we have a podcast called The Valley Cast, which you can get on iTunes and Google Play. Riggs doesn't like my plugs. You just type in The Valley Cast wherever you get your podcasts from, and that should be that.
I'm going to do something that I hate when people do online, but I have hit up Real Good Touring to talk about the possibility of us partnering together. I've talked at them, I'll say, and I haven't heard anything back. But I would love to team up with them to possibly, you know, do a dynamic banter tour because
we've
I think we could do so well. And I think it could really help us out financially. And also we can meet everyone who listens to the podcast. So if you want, tweet at Real Good Touring and tell them that you have interest. That's really the way everything works, whether it's a comedy club or touring company or whatever. They just need to see that people are interested in it. So very politely, if you feel like it, if you don't, absolutely don't do it. But there's a tweet at Real Good Touring and tell them that you want to see us on tour.
That would be really sweet if you guys did that. We'd appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Can I talk about one more thing?
Of course.
I have been selected as part of this beta program by YouTube that you could sponsor my YouTube channel for $5 a month.
Whoa.
And you get 5 free things, including 2 digital copies of both of my books.
Whoa.
So if you're sitting there being like, Mike can write most of the words in there spelled correctly, and I think you'll have a great time. There's an interview with Lee Newton in the second one. It's very interesting. We talk about health things that we've gone through, but it's also very funny. It's not a downer. Thank you.
Well, that was a downer.
But there's a, if you go to my YouTube page, there's a sponsor button now.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So I'm very thankful for that.
That's awesome, man. And how do they do that? They just go to your YouTube page?
They go to my YouTube page. You can't see it on your phone just yet, but if you have a laptop or a computer or whatever, it says sponsor, and you get like free copy of 2 of my books. You get your name in the credits of the morning show.
Cool.
And access to a monthly sponsor only video.
Well, I gotta tell you, Mike, that sounds like a time, and if I had any money to my name, I would be helping you out with that.
You help me by just being friend. Oh, that's another thing, that if you don't sponsor, nothing changes. You could still enjoy the morning show.
It's
every
just a
Tuesday
nice way
Friday
to thank your creative.
Yeah.
Well, awesome, Mike. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did. And if not, you can go on and fuck yourself. So thank you so much for listening to this show. We'll catch you every Friday on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your dang podcasts. And we'll see you next time on Dynamic Banter.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.